Good evening, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Have you all been enjoying this beautiful cold and wet weather? Yeah, you know what? I think it's so amazing that God brings us the rain, especially when we need it the most. And, you know, it's almost like we could see it as a big blessing, because God is so merciful and wonderful, and he loves us so much that he gives us even the rain to enjoy. My name is Gina Gomez, and I am a member of Bakersfield Central Church, and I'm so excited about this year's convocation. What better way to end our 10 days of prayer than to gather together in one place, united in one spirit? And it says in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." In just a few moments, we're going to hear from the pastors from Area 5, and they're going to tell us about this year's convocation and also about the things they have set for God's plan here in Bakersfield. So let's all bow our heads to ask God to be here with us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful week. Thank you for just having us be alive and having us be here. Help each and every one to be able to arrive safely, and just bless this time that we have together to fellowship and to have you as the center of our lives, dear Lord. We ask for your presence, for the Holy Spirit to be with us. In your name we ask, amen.
Good evening, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank God for being present throughout all of our planning for this year's convocation. It's been quite a journey, and we have been challenged every step of the way, especially with the time crunch as we've been going through lately. But we know that God is with us. Secondly, I'd like to thank you, Hillcrest Church members, and Pastor Daniel, who is allowing us to have this event here in this church, this beautiful church. And I would also like to appreciate Pastor Kevin Hart, who is serving as our Area 5 president and has been putting a lot of work and extra time into trying to make this event a success. So we really appreciate you and what you're doing. Also, last but not least, a big thank you to everyone who has helped us make this event a reality. We have the AV crew up there coming here extra hours. We have all those people like Josh putting up these banners and everything throughout the week. And so it really takes a united effort in order to bring this thing together and make it a success. We started our meeting about a few months ago talking about what we wanted to do with our Area 5 convocation. And we started praying together and asking God, what would you have us do? And God really impressed us that we needed to come together in a very unique and different way as a church family. And so this year is the fruit of God's revelation to us and what we need to do in Area 5. We ask God how we can be closer as a constituent fellowship of Area 5. The vision is to join hands together, not merely as members of the local congregations, but as members of God's eternal kingdom. We agreed on the theme, clinging to the cross. And if you look deeper into the power and significance of the cross is what brings us together as one. It unifies us with God and with each other. Joining resources and having our vision together as separate churches, we can do more together than we could ever do by ourselves. We've had answered prayers along the way, and what is interesting is that we as pastors have gotten together and have started praying together. We didn't do that before, but we're starting to now. With the leadership of your new pastor here at Hillcrest and with the Area 5 president, we've been encouraging each other and lifting each other up, asking God, how do you want us to lead your people? How do you want us to serve your people? And God has been giving us answers. Far too long, we have been operating as individual churches. Sadly, at times, and we are guilty as well, it has been almost like a competition. But in the Bible, we never learn about that. It was never meant to be a competition between churches. Amen. We were meant to unite as one, uniting our resources. Think about what we can do when our resources come together in Area 5. We can shake Bakersfield up and lead many more people to the kingdom of heaven. One last thing I wanted to share before I close. A wonderful, powerful saying by Jeremiah the prophet. He says, yes, a grain of sand is insignificant, but look at what they can do when they come together. They can hold back the ocean. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
Just want to thank you for coming out tonight. I know the rain can sometimes put a damper on our willingness to leave the confines of our cozy couch or whatever it may be. But I believe the Lord is going to reward you for coming out tonight, because we're going to take a moment to pray together tonight. We're going to hear a nice inspirational thought about prayer. And we are closing our 10 days of prayer even this night. So we're excited about being here together in fellowship. And I'm excited about working with some wonderful pastors who I know really love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are working together so that we all can have the same vision and have the same effort in Bakersfield. So my name is Pastor Kevin, and I'm the pastor of Bakersfield Central. I'm going to pass the mic and let the other pastors introduce themselves.
Thank you, Pastor Hart. My name is Stephen Hicks. I'm the associate pastor here at Hillcrest, as well as at the Kern River Valley Church in Lake Isabella. I was assigned to this church last February, so just under a year ago. This is my first Area 5 convocation, and I'm excited at the idea of everybody coming together to do it as an area team. So God bless us. God bless you, Kevin, for being such a powerful force behind this. I know it was a team effort, but your leadership has been appreciated. So thank you for that. God bless you all tonight.
Pastor Mackey. Amen. This is Pastor Stephen Mackey from Southside. And it's good to be here tonight. And we're all in this together, guys. And I'm looking forward to even next year. You know, I know we're local guys, but we have a lot to say. You know, we're not your premium speakers, but we're the regular unleaded speakers. And we've been studying, and God has given us some powerful sermons. And we want you to come out and support us. And what a theme we have, clinging to the cross. You know, this time in our government, in our earth's history, I don't know who thought of that theme. I think it was Kevin, but it's such a wonderful theme, clinging to the cross. And I'm just happy to be a part of this, Pastor Patch.
Well, happy Sabbath to everyone. Glad you're all here. I'm Daniel Petch, and I serve our Hillcrest congregation as a senior pastor. Thank my brethren and all who have participated in this and will. There is a lot of planning that goes into this, and there are many thank yous to give to many, many people in all of our churches who have just given of their time and their talents unselfishly to bring this to fruition. But I want to tell you what my vision is, or at least what my main concern for this weekend is. I want to pray especially for personal revival in each and every heart. That's number one. But I do know that there are many of you who are saddened, and every night difficult for you to go to sleep because you're praying for your families, children, spouses, whomever, who no longer walk with us. And I want to pray especially that God's Spirit will go out today, tomorrow, and in the future to draw back our families together. That we all come into the unity of one faith, one Lord. That also, my dear friends, people will know that we have not just the truth, but that we are living the truth when we are all loving and lovable Christians together. That is my vision for this weekend. God bless you.
Hymn number 478, Sweet Hour Prayer.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and
invite Pastor Hicks back up and to share his testimony.
Hello again. Hello again. So it's testimony time. And I had a testimony on my heart because it happened recently. It happened locally. It happened to us. And so it was a no-brainer to me when we were deciding who was going to fill up the testimony time and what we were going to say. I said, I would really like the people to know this. And now I have a chance to share it with you.
Is everybody here familiar with Walk Through Bethlehem? You know what that is? I actually could stand up here and testify about Walk Through Bethlehem for a long time, so I'm just going to pick one story to share with you. If for some reason you do not know what I'm talking about, the remnants of it are still on the lawn over there because it takes a long time to deconstruct. Well, this is a pretty sturdy operation that we put together, as evidenced by the fact that it ended a month ago and it's still up and it's been enduring the rain and the weather, and it was designed that way. But see, rain is problematic not so much for the setup itself, but for the people, because all the setup in the world doesn't do us very much good if nobody comes here to go through it. So as we were preparing for the second weekend of Walk Through Bethlehem, there was a massive rainstorm on the forecast. Now, I learned pretty quickly when I moved to Bakersfield that the forecast doesn't mean a whole lot. But nonetheless, that rain was sitting there on Friday, and day after day, that rain just sat there on the forecast. And I began to wonder if maybe this would be one of those times when the forecast was right. So I really did not want it to rain very badly on the Friday of our second weekend. The first weekend numbers were good, but not great. The last weekend is traditionally much stronger. We wanted as many people to come as could get out here. So I began to pray. I prayed at home by myself. I prayed at home with my family. I prayed here at Hillcrest. I prayed up in Isabella. I even went to the academy and prayed with the high school kids there. My prayer was always the same. I said, Lord, you know we need the rain, and we do need it. Please give us the rain that we need. Give it to us everywhere that we need it. But please not right here on the Hillcrest campus. I said, hold the rain for our event and let the people come. Well, so I prayed this and I prayed this and I prayed this and I prayed this, and Friday rolls around. And here everybody had come out, the volunteers were here, the costumes were on, we were set up and ready to go. But the rain was coming down. Excuse me. The rain was coming down, and it was coming down pretty hard. Well, we opened our doors at, I don't even remember, 5, 6? Let's say 5 for the purpose of the story. 5 o'clock. And so at about 5 minutes to the hour, as the rain is coming down, and I mean coming down, we saw a break in the sky. And that edge of the storm cloud just kind of raced away from us. And with just a few minutes to spare before the event began, wouldn't you know it, the rain stopped. The rain stopped. Just like we asked it to. Just like we asked the Lord to hold it for us. And for the entire duration of the evening, the windows of heaven didn't open on us again. For all the hours we did it. Now, I'm happy to say that over the course of the 2 weekends of Walk Through Bethlehem, we were able to serve almost 3,800 people that came through here. Not all those people came by on that Friday, but there were a good number of people who did. And I want to thank the Lord for caring enough about His truth going to the world. That He is willing to intervene with the very forces of nature to help His word be spread. Amen. Is prayer powerful, friends? Amen. We serve a God for whom the raging storm is not a problem at all. Amen. So I will leave you with that. God bless you. I hope that's an encouragement to you, that the Lord is He for whom nothing is too hard. God bless you all. I want to ask Justin Mello. He is the health force worker here at Hillcrest as well as up in Kern River Valley, and he's going to share a testimony with us as well. God bless you, Brother Justin.
Good evening, friends. I want to thank you all for coming out this evening to join us. And with this many people here, I know for a fact that many of you are praying for friends and family, amen? Perhaps it's a loved one, family member, or friend, or even a coworker, an acquaintance that does not know the Lord, and you see the need to pray for that person. I just want to share with you this evening a personal testimony of intercessory prayer. The very reason that I'm here today is because of a faithful person praying for me. The point of this story you will see is to never give up on anyone. You see, I was raised in the church as a child. Unfortunately, over time, I left the church. I got involved in a life of drugs and alcohol. I got affiliated with gangs. Most of my family gave up on me. I had even given up on myself at that point. Anyone who would have looked at me would have thought, this brother has no hope. And you know, I had a good friend who was in the church who looked at me and said, you're going to come back to church. You're going to be a preacher. I said, you must be crazy. You don't know me. But I had faithful people praying for me. You see, I had strayed far away from God. And in my mind, I had gone too far to even ask God for forgiveness. And you'll be surprised how many people actually believe that. But that is a lie from the devil. I thought I had gone too far. I thought I had surpassed God's grace and that there was no coming back for me. But you know, in 2009, my life was completely turned around. There were a series of miraculous events, some not so great. I saw my need for the Lord. And I saw that even when my friends and those who said they had my back forsake me, God was always there for me. Amen? I realized that God's love had always surrounded me and that he would always be there for me. And I started taking steps towards God. By 2011, I had given my heart fully to God and was baptized into the church. I came into the church. I started teaching Sabbath school class. I began to preach. I preached three sermons in my grandmother's church. And in February 2014, my grandmother passed away. It was a Friday night. She called me that morning. And she said, Justin, are you going to church tomorrow? I said, yes, I'll be there. She said, good, I'll see you in church tomorrow. She went to sleep that night and didn't wake up. She passed on the Sabbath day with the very thought in mind that the next day, the very face you would see, not in person, but through the word and through the worship service, will be the face of Christ, right? But little did she know that the very next face she would see on that getting up morning, that resurrection morning, is the face of Jesus Christ in person. I didn't know this until my grandmother had passed away. But my grandfather came to me privately and he said, Justin, your grandmother was one faithful woman. I watched her every night from the time you strayed away from the church. She would get on her knees and plead with you in tears every single night. And she prayed two things specifically. That God would bring a grandson back to the church and back to him. And that God would make him a preacher. Her prayer was fulfilled. I came back to the church and I preached three sermons in her presence before the Lord laid her to rest. The point I want to make to you tonight is that you may have been praying for someone for as long as you can remember. You may not see any physical or tangible evidence that God is working in that person's life, but I am a living proof that intercessory prayer works. Had it not been for the faithful prayers of my grandmother, I would not be here today. I would have been dead or in jail right now. And praise God for faithful people who are willing to hold on to the faith that prayer works. Amen? Amen. If you're praying for someone tonight, it doesn't matter how long you've been praying for them. It doesn't matter if you've seen no evidence. Just know that God is working and that his timing is perfect. Amen? Hold on to the faith and never underestimate the power of intercessory prayer. God bless you.
So powerful. I want to invite my wife to come up and stand by me as I do this testimony. She gives me strength when she's next to me. You're looking at two miracles here. First of all, when I left Bakersfield in 1971, in fact, I graduated from the academy here, and I said I would never move back to Bakersfield. And God called me back to Bakersfield, not only back here, but he allowed me to become a pastor and pastor the church that I grew up in, which is Southside. And that was a miracle. And, you know, the older you get, the longer your testimonies. You know, I'm at an age now where I could stay up here for half an hour and tell you a lot of long stories, but I know you don't want to do that. But Linda and I have been in Bakersfield for 5 years. We know that God provided a way for us to come. It was not in our radar to come back here and pastor. In fact, her dad was a pastor here when I met Linda in 1957. I think we met in 1956. I was 3 and she was 2. Believe it or not, we met in Bakersfield.
At the church.
At Southside.
In cradle roll class,
yes. You know, guys, when they talk, we talk in general terms, but my wife is very specific. So if I make one mistake, she's going to correct me. So that's why you're up here. So anyway, God allowed us to come back to the first town we met in and for me to pastor. And that's a miracle right there. I'm telling you, God is awesome. He's awesome. And the way he leads and directs your life, you know, and he does it through small things. And, you know, we were looking, this is just one of the miracles in our life. How we were able to get housing here in Bakersfield. This is a real interesting story. You correct me on the details because sometimes I get carried away. We were looking for housing. And just to let you know how God works, man, you got to trust him. You got to trust God, believe me. He knows what he's doing. We didn't have a place to stay. We're looking for a house. So I got online and was looking for a home in Bakersfield. And so I found a beautiful home in Bakersfield up in the country club area. You know, that area. Okay, here's the first correction.
Okay. We actually found two homes that were not in the country club area. They were far away from here, but they were in Bakersfield, and they were scams.
Oh, yeah.
They were scams. Right. And somebody was putting them out like the houses were for rent. And we had a real estate person who was a friend of ours check it out. And sure enough, these houses were for sale. They were in the process of being sold. Somebody took the pictures, put them on, and they wanted the money up front. And so those were scams. Okay.
And just this whole story is about knowing for sure that you're in the right place. And so anyway, I'm trying to cut it short. We found a home, beautiful home up in the country club area. And that was an area that I used to visit as a child. You know, growing up, we'd go up there and look at the Christmas lights up in the country club and on Panorama. Parents would take us. And so it was just exciting just to live in that area. So we found a house to rent. And so I was at the office and I told the company that, oh, I really love this house. My wife loves this house, trying to make it short. And he says, and the owner, I didn't know he was the owner, so he walks out of his office, and he says, oh, you like the house? And I says, yes, we love the house. My wife loves the kitchen, and he had just remodeled the kitchen, put all this work into the kitchen, the cabinets and everything. Beautiful home. So anyway, so he says, you like this home? And I says, yeah, we love it. So we started talking, and he said, well, yeah, I told him how I went to Bakersfield Academy when I was a kid and how we used to go through the neighborhood. And I told him how, and then last, I was getting ready to leave. And I said, yeah, and my grandma used to work in the area as a maid. My grandma used to work in that area and clean houses. Yeah, I told him. Yeah, I told him, right, it's longer when you interrupt, but so I told him that my grandma used to work at a doctor's house on Country Club Drive, down the street from the house we wanted to rent. So anyway, we ended up signing the contract. He got so excited. He says, your grandma was a maid in that area? And I said, sure. He says, well, what was her name? And I said, well, her name was Mabel Smith. And he says, Mabel Smith? She said, was she about this tall and had kind of gray hair? And he described my grandma. And he says, well, Mabel used to be our maid. And it was just, I said, what? He says, yeah, Mabel used to clean the house for us. I know Mabel. She used to wake us up in the morning and get us ready for school. And he says, you're Mabel's grandson? And I said, yeah, Mabel's grandson. He says, well, yeah, he lived in the house from a kid. He was a little kid in the house. He grew up in the house that we were renting. Beautiful home. So it was just exciting. But that little instance, it just let me know that God was with us. I mean, we moved in the same house that my grandma used to clean when I was a kid. Yeah, this was over 30 years. She cleaned that house over 30 years, and she knew him. But it may not mean much to you, but it let us know that we were in the right place and God had a place for us. And it was just amazing. I tell this story over and over again. And it just amazes us and lets us know how dependable God is. And you could trust him. And, you know, I'll never again doubt him. So, we just go wherever he tells us to go. I don't know how long I'm going to be in Bakersfield. I may retire here. I don't know. But trust him. Depend on him. Prayer works. It works every time. So, praise the Lord. That was my testimony. Thank you, honey. She didn't know she was going to come up here, but thank you for coming.
A trembling sinner, Lord, I cry. Thy pardoning grace is rich and free. Thy pardoning grace is rich and free. God, be merciful. Oh, God, be merciful. Oh, God, be merciful. Be merciful to nor alms, nor deeds that I have done can for a single sin atone. To Calvary alone I flee, to Calvary alone I flee. Oh God, be merciful. Oh God, be merciful. Oh God, be merciful. Be merciful to me. And when redeemed from sin and hell, with all the ransom throng I dwell, my raptured song shall ever be, my raptured song shall ever be. God hath been merciful. God hath been merciful. God hath been merciful.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Kareem Morgan, the Bible instructor, Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I just want to see who all been enjoying the 10 days prayer and fasting. Are you fasting? Amen. I just want to quote reading from Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We must gather about the cross. Christ and Him crucified should be the theme of our conversation and our most joyful emotion. We should keep in our thoughts every blessing we receive from God. And when we realize His great love, we will be willing to trust everything to the hand that was nailed to the cross for us. Prayer should be as natural to the Christian as breathing. Why then do we too often feel that we are gasping for spiritual breath? I may ask the congregation at this time to stand and pray with me as I pray, because I just have a short time and so many wonderful people here tonight. And I know we all here because we believe in prayer, right? God's mercy brought us here. God's mercy. Father, we're just so thankful to be in your sanctuary tonight. We thank you because your mercy had brought us here. And Father, we pray that you would please implore the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with truth, inflame our hearts with love,
Inspire our will with courage. Enrich our life with service. Forgive us, O God, of our sin, and pardon us for what we have been, and sanctify us that we are what we are, and order what we shall be. O God, you know everyone need here tonight. And I'm so thankful, O God, that you answer our prayers. And Lord, those that are sick, I pray that they would find you as a healing balm in Gilead. I pray, O Lord, that they would find you as their friend, a loving friend in you. And also, loving God, I pray for our families, our loved ones that are not in the ark tonight. I pray that you, O God, will bring them to Jesus. I pray that if we haven't made a decision and made our mind to follow you, Jesus, I pray tonight that we would make up our mind, O God, to do and follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, if you would just bless us tonight and enlarge our territory. We thank you, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, O God, for the cross. O God, I pray that tonight, O God, and the Sabbath dawn on tomorrow, God, that as we look at the theme and focus on the cross for what Jesus had done for us, not focusing on ourselves, O God, but focus on the cross, O God, and share that wonderful love that Jesus did on that cross for us. To everyone, Father, that you give us the opportunity and help us to always remember that prayer is a privilege. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Can we remain standing for our closing song? We have picked for our theme song this weekend, At the Cross. It's an old song that I used to hear my grandma sang in prayer meeting when I didn't want to come to prayer meeting. And I used to sit on the back pew and pout. But I used to hear all these old songs that they used to sing. And this is one of those songs, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. I believe the words, are they on the screen? If not, it's page 163. Oh, there they are. Amen. Let's all sing together. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such one, such as at the cross? At the cross, at the cross. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes? Was it for crimes that I have done? He suffered on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Let's slow down that third verse. Slow it down just a little bit. But drops of grease can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can. Let's all sing it together. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith
faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. You sound beautiful. You may be seated.
We wanted tonight to be short but sweet, and prayer always makes things sweet. So before we leave, I just wanted to encourage every one of you. Do you know that they say the greatest distance ever traveled is the distance from the head to the heart? And tomorrow is going to be a day filled with messages about the cross. And it's no mystery that our churches are filled with members who on the outside and by all appearances look like they've got a very close walk with Jesus. And we do when we're dressed up in our suits and look very good on Sabbath. But the truth is, not all of us are connected with Jesus. There's going to be members here tomorrow that need to be reacquainted with the cross, be reacquainted with their Savior. And so I want to encourage you tonight, when you go home, please take some time and pray for our members. First, that they be brave enough to come out, whether it's raining or cloudy or cold. But secondly, that the Lord would just have a special blessing in store for them. And then I want you to be encouraged that tomorrow's a very special day, not only because of the messages you'll hear and the music you'll hear, but we have some very special gifts to give out at the end of the day, one of which is an 1844 Bible. Who would like to have a Bible that was constructed in 1844? Amen. Most of us would, whether you raised your hand or not. So if you stick around all day, you just may be the sole receiver of this here Bible. You may not be able to read it if you're 40 and above, like myself. But it would nonetheless be a very prized possession to perhaps put behind plexiglass or just take out now and then as a conversation piece. This was made in 1844, the year of the Great Disappointment. And we've got some other very nice things we want to give away, spiritual things that are appropriate to give away to saints such as us. So I encourage you to come out. Also, if you know of members who are reluctant to come out who have children, we want you to encourage them because we have an all-day children's church. And how nice is that? That the parents can be free to come and worship God and know that their kids are worshiping God as well. And we also have a fellowship meal because we don't want to just scatter when the noon bell rings, but we want to fellowship together and eat a bite to eat, encouraging one another in the Lord, and then come back to worship our God and our Savior. So please do come back tomorrow. Invite those who you know are not here tonight, and I guarantee you that God will have a special blessing in store. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless everybody. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for the music we heard tonight, Lord. That alone lifts our hearts in praise and thanksgiving. Thank you so much, Lord, that our Savior is sufficient to fill our every need. Our Savior is sufficient to dispel our every fear. Our Savior is sufficient to encourage us to keep pressing on despite the challenges that come our way. Father, I just pray that we all sleep in peace tonight. Now, we know the devil's not happy about this message this day, but that's okay because he is a defeated foe at the cross. So please be with us tonight, and may we once again gather together tomorrow to lift our voices in praise to you who alone are worthy of the praise that comes forth from our lips. It's our prayer tonight with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everybody, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.